All right. Can you guys hear me just fine? Okay. Before we start, we have a video to watch real quick. It's like 2 minutes and 30 second video. So pay attention. Go ahead, Mikey.
These are roughly 28,835 jelly beans. I counted out 500 of them and used those to weigh the rest. In this pile, there's one jelly bean for each day that the average American will live. You might have more beans in your life, or maybe less, but on average, this is the time we have. Here's a single bean. It's your very first day. A special day, but kind of a rough day on everyone involved. Add 364 more and you have the first year of your life. Now, for a sense of scale, here are your first 15 years, 5,475 days. Which brings us to the threshold of adulthood. And at that moment, this is the time that we have left. And this is, on average, what we will do with all that time. We will be asleep for a total of 8,477 days. If we're lucky, some of that time we'll be sleeping next to someone we love. We will be in the process of eating, drinking, or preparing food for 1,635 days. We'll be at work, hopefully doing something satisfying, for the equivalent of 3,202 of those days. 1,099 days will be spent commuting or traveling from one place to another, maybe a little bit more if you live in LA. On average, we will watch television in one form or another for a total of 2,676 days. Household activities, like chores and tending to our pets and shopping, will take another 1,576 days. And we will care for the needs and well-being of others, our friends and family, for 564 days. We'll spend 671 days bathing, grooming, and doing all other bathroom-related activities. And another 720 days will go to community activities, like religious and civic duties, charities, and taking classes. After we remove all those beans, this is what remains. This is the time that we have left. Time for laughing, swimming, making art, going on hikes, text messages, reading, checking Facebook, playing softball, maybe even teaching yourself how to play the guitar. So what are you going to do with this time? How much of it do you think you've already used up? If you only had half of it, what would you do differently? What about half of that? How much time have you already spent worrying instead of doing something that you love? What if you just had one more day? What are you going to do today?
All right, that's our message. Let us pray. All right. So let us, let's pray and then dismiss the children to their Sunday school. Father God in heaven, Jesus, we praise you and thank you for this wonderful afternoon that you have given us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for you are faithful. Thank you for what you have done on that cross for us. And thank you, Lord God, that we have placed our faith on you. We'll be able to live our life justified and saved from the fires of hell. Lord, we thank you for this life that you have given us. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that all of us will live our life to glorify you, to please you. And Lord, speak to us once again in this very afternoon, Lord God. Speak to us, Lord Jesus, that we will hear you, we'll understand your words. Break our hearts, Lord, if you have to. Thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. We love you in your mighty name and pray. Amen. All right. So welcome once again to FICF. Our visitor, welcome. I'm not the pastor, just FYI. I'm filling in. My name is Vincent, and I'm one of the deacons of this church. Our pastor and some of the church members, a lot of them, actually, are doing, they just finished camping for the last 3 days. They went to Dobbins, California. They had so much fun while I was at work and preparing for this. So, but as always, it's always a privilege to really give the Lord's message. You know? So, let's jump into this message. So, we watched that video about the jelly beans, right? Life is like a jelly beans. You'll never know what you will get, right? No, it's actually chocolates. Amen. All right, so watching that video, I've watched that like 5-6 years ago. That video was made 10 years ago. So remember the part where we're spending so much time on televisions? It's probably more nowadays because of Netflix. Do you agree? And if you come to think of it, we don't have so much time. You might think you have a lot of time, right? But that video really make you realize that life here on earth is limited, right? That one day, when everything's said and done, you're going to die. No one's immortal, right? But the good news is, Christ died for you. Amen? And if you have placed your faith in him, you will continue to live for eternity, right? So, knowing that we have limited time on earth, we have to make it count. And that's the message today. We have to make this life count. So we have to live intentionally. What does that mean to live intentionally? Right? So I have a joke here. And your favorite character next to Bong is Andres. Andres became a pastor of a church. So one morning, he went to church, you know, he was driving, and he was praying while he's driving, like many of us do. And he was praying to God, and he asked God, "Lord, how long is 10 million years to you?" And for some reason, God replied to him. And God said, "1 second, that's 10 million years to me." The next day, he's driving again to church, and he asked God again, a question. Bong was struggling. He's a pastor, you know. Pastor don't get paid well. So he's struggling financially. So he asked God, "How much is $10 million to you, Lord?" And God replied, "A penny." That's how powerful God is, right? Then finally, the third day, Andres asked God again. He asked God seriously, and he's like, "Lord, can I have one of your pennies?" Right? You know what God replied? He said, "Just wait a second." I don't know if you got that joke. Wait a second means 10 million years. So Andres was quite disappointed. I hope that was funny. I thought it was funny. All right. So in Mere Christianity, I don't know if you read the book by C.S. Lewis. It's called Mere Christianity, and I really recommend that you read it. It's quite interesting. You know, C.S. Lewis was an atheist at first, and then he became a Christian. And he said that our universal human experience is this. Okay, so our life comes to us moment by moment. One moment disappears before the next comes along. And there is room for very little in each. That is what time is like. Right? And then, he continued to say, and then he describes just how limited our perspective is. Right? So, and he continued to say, "And of course, you and I tend to take it for granted that this time series, this arrangement of past, present, and future is not simply the way life comes to us, but the way all things really exist. We tend to assume that the whole universe and God himself are always moving on from past to future, just as we do. But many learned men do not agree with that. Almost certainly God is not in time. His life does not consist of moments following one another." Right? Following me? This is kind of like really, but I really like this, how he explained our time here, in this life here on earth. And he continued to say, "If you picture time as a straight line along which we have to travel, so from point A to point B, right, then you must picture God as the whole page on which line is drawn. We come to the part of the line one by one. We have to leave A behind before we get to B, and cannot reach C until we leave B behind. God from above or outside or all around contains the whole line and sees it all. What am I trying to say here? Is that, yeah, we do from point A to point B. This is a straight line. Birth, death. But our God is not contained into that time. But he sees it all. He's all around it, right? So our God is not bounded by time. He controls it, and he is outside of it. He sees all. However, you and I, we are bounded by time, right? Especially in this life. The truth is, our life is not ours. It is a gift from God. And I hope you realize that. You know, David said in Psalms 139:16, he said, "Your eyes saw me, saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." I want you guys to realize, church, that one of the most important things that we need to realize is that our time is a gift from God. Right? We saw those jelly beans. That's the average. If you're Filipino, you have less. Average life expectancy for Filipinos is between 70 and 75. Right? You live in the U.S., so probably 80. Right? But if you retire in the Philippines, it goes down again. Especially if you don't have money. Right? So God and none of us know how much of it we are allotted, right? Our days are numbered. Only God knows how much we are allotted, right? Only God knows how much time each of us here on earth. And to make decisions, so we have to make decisions carefully, right? We have to make decisions carefully that will impact your eternity. Because we know this is the truth. Yes, this life is temporary here on earth, but our soul and our spirit will live to eternity, right? So this is like a preparation for eternity, right? So we have to make this count, right? Think about it as like if you want to be a soldier or part of the military, what prepares you is the boot camp, isn't it, right? If you do well in the boot camp, you're expected that you will be prepared for the duties that you have to fulfill, right? So this life is that. This life prepares us for eternity. But first and foremost, we have to have the right relationship with Jesus, right? Because true, you will live for eternity, but you have two destinations, church, right? Either you're going to live eternity with Christ, filled with joy, or you're going to live eternity filled with regret apart from Christ. So the choice is yours, right? So these scriptures in Psalm 139:16 affirms that God knows everything about our lives in advance with his perfect omniscience. No human being can predict accurately how long he or she will live. You know, in Proverbs 27:1 warns us not to be presumptuous, and many of us are. We're arrogant, right? We think that we have the time. But the Bible tells us in Proverbs that do not boast about tomorrow. It warns us, for you do not know what the day may bring. You really don't know if you're still going to be existing tomorrow. That's the fact, right? I can't tell that I will be able to hold my daughter tomorrow, right? And I can't say that, oh yeah, I'll be home tonight. The truth is, you may be driving to home or driving to work, and if God calls you home, you'll be home, right? But here's the thing. Knowing that our time and our life is a gift from God, how then should we live it? How will you live your life, right? We must live an intentional life. Make this life count. Live intentionally. I want you to tell your neighbor, make it count. Live intentionally. Come on, let's go. Yes, that is right. We have to live intentionally. Our main text this afternoon is from Ephesians 5, 15 to 18. So we have to learn how to live intentionally, right? So let's read this all together, church, in Ephesians 5, 15 to 18. Okay, let's read it. So then, be careful how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, in which there is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So, that's our main text this evening. And through this passage from the Bible, we will be able to learn the principles on how we can live a life of being intentional, right? So there are four keys to living the intentional life. And those are, first one, we have to examine your life. You have to examine your life. So that's in verse 15. It says, be careful how you walk. Secondly, you have to redeem your time. Third, determine your purpose. And lastly, embrace your priority. Be filled with the Spirit. Okay? So, and to our first point, how can we live a life that will count, and how can we live intentionally? First point is examine your life, right? In Ephesians 5:15, it reads, so then, be careful how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise. So I want you guys to pay attention to be careful how you walk. This is a warning that Paul gave the church in Ephesus, right? So it says, be careful how you walk. The word walk here is a Greek word that says peripatheo, peripatheo, and used as a figure of speech on the direction of our life and the conduct of our life, okay? So the direction of your life and the conduct of your life. So the Greek word for walk is again peripatheo, means that to have our being, to deport ourselves, to order our manner of life, to walk about. It is used with respect to ordinary daily life. It denotes common, habitual daily walk. So you have to really pay attention on where are you heading? Are you lost? Or do you have your eyes locked in into that goal, right? Into the finish line. So how you walk is basically how you live your life in terms of your conduct and the direction of your life. You have to live your life intentionally, right? So it says be careful. In other words, pay attention. Pay attention. Do you pay attention on where you are now? On the things that's going on around you, right? Few things I want to highlight for you in this simple phrase, be careful how you walk, is that first, we must be attentive to the directions of our life, right? Where is your life heading? Ask yourself that. Where is your life headed, right? Pay attention to the trajectory of your life, the direction that you're heading to. If you're a man, are you leading your life, right? Are you leading your family towards where God will be pleased and towards where your children will believe in Jesus as well, right? So pay attention to the direction of your life. Example here is that. The illustration here is, you know, sometimes I like driving. I really like driving, and then it happened to me before where I was heading to church when we were still in Mill Street. And I wasn't paying attention. I was just driving, you know. you get into the habit of, you're really good at it, like driving, you know, you don't pay much attention. And the next thing I know, I was already in, almost in Mount Rose exit. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to church. So sometimes we just drive aimlessly, right? And not paying attention. And do you know that most accidents is caused by not paying attention? It's not because people are unskilled or being reckless, right? But it is because they are not paying attention, right? And that simple mistake can lead to a fatal accident, right? So, you know, you were on your phone while you're driving and then you steered to your left and then you got into a head-on collision, right? So when we don't pay attention, fatal things can happen, right? So as for us, Christian, right, if we are not paying attention to what's going on with our life and we're not paying attention to where we are heading, then the world will influence you, right? That you will get lost. You didn't know, oh, I was too far away from God already, right? So you need to pay attention of your life. Because, you know, sometimes another thing is that we also pay attention to the things that don't matter, right? Sometimes we pay attention to success, to money, to fame, power, whatever it is, right? But we need to pay attention. The purpose of our life should be towards pleasing God, right? So, because it is no use pursuing success without the sense of purpose, without the sense of significance, right? So we must move from pursuit of success to live a life that is of significance, right? So are you living the life that is of significance, right? So what does a life look like that is pleasing to God? Or are you just going after the vain things, the temporary things that this world offers? Really, the answer there is between you and God, right? So, because God calls us to live a life of purpose and meaning. That's what He wants us to live, how He wants us to live our life. So the question now is that, what are you living for? What are you living for? Are you living for God or are you living for yourself? Are you living for God or are you living for money, for fame, or whatever it is, right? You know, the Solomon, King Solomon of the Bible said he accomplished everything, right? He got parks, 700 wives, 300 concubines, and etc. He had everything. But at the end of the day, he said everything was vanity. Everything was vanity. So it was like catching a wind. You'll never catch it, right? You never get to hold it. So don't waste your life. Be careful how you walk, right? If your time is not spent on the things that truly matter, then it's a waste. What are the things that truly matter? First and foremost, your relationship with your Creator, with God. Secondly, your relationship with your family and the people around you, right? So those are the things that matter. And the things that matter, are you obeying God for what He wants you to do, right? So a lot of times we are too carefree, thinking that we have all the time in the world, especially young people. We think, oh, man, I'm just 33. I still have like, what, 50 more years to go? But you know what? When I was in my teens, I was like, oh, yeah, I'll be this and that, you know? But now I'm 33. Things change. I'm now realizing I'm getting old. I got a daughter now, you know, and you have to make things right. You have to change your perspective and making sure that your time is spent on the things that are that matters, right? So it's like this, guys. Have you guys been to Vietnam? Yeah? Oh, no. If not, do you know about Vietnam War, right? A lot of our military from the U.S. really sacrificed their lives for that war, right? And I work for the VA as a nurse, and a lot of veterans really want to talk about their experience, you know, especially those who were in World War II, Vietnam War, and the Korean War. So they tell you how horrific it is in there. It's so wet, there's so much mosquitoes, and then if you get wounded, they get infection, and then eventually die because of that. And that the Vietnam, like, their enemies are really going after them, right? So let's pretend that you went to Vietnam, right? And because you want to stroll around, you know, you're a backpacker, or maybe you went as a tourist, right? And then you went strolling around an open field, and all of a sudden, some guy started shouting, "Stop! Stop! Stop! You're in an open field," right? Then you realize, and you've realized that you have wandered into a minefield, right? Because in Vietnam, there's a lot of minefield, right? So what would you do? What would you do? You will be very careful in that minefield. If I'm that person, I'll be very careful knowing that I have wandered into a minefield. I will not just mindlessly run around in that minefield, because I know if I make a mistake, I get blown up and shredded into pieces, right? So our life as well has a lot of minefield. Especially if you're a part of God's family. Jesus said that in this life you will be persecuted. That this life is not a walk in the park, right? So just like in life, this world has a lot of minefield. And there are so many things that can derail us in this world. Therefore, we must be very careful, and we have to walk accurately. We have to walk accurately and pay attention to the steps that we take in this life. Does that make sense? Right? Because there are a lot of things. And some minefields in this life, you don't even realize it's something that will hurt you. Right? It starts something that, you know, like maybe friendship, and then it blown into some adultery or whatever it is. Right? You thought it was just games, right? You've spent so much time watching TV or playing games. Next thing you know, you've lost that time that you should have spent with your family or pleasing God, right? Last thing that I want to point out in this phrase, be careful, is be sensitive to whether you are paying attention or not paying attention to the things that are important, right? Don't take your life for granted. Don't take your life for granted. The truth is, once it has passed, it's gone, right? It's gone. The only thing you can do with time is spend it, right? You can never save it, right? You can never save it. So you can either spend it wisely or you can just waste it. It's really up to you, right? So I want you guys to, all of us has to really seize the day, right? Seize our time and make it count, because we have to steward our time well, right? We have to manage it well, right? You know, carpe diem means seize the day, right? There's a shoe that is Kobe, and it's carpe diem, right? Which means seize the day, right? So you have to make the day count. So are you making your day count? Right? Are you making your day count? Because so how will you walk carefully? How will you walk carefully? Then you have to ask God. You have to ask God for His help. Ask for His wisdom. That's the only way you can walk carefully and be able to live an intentional life, right? Looking carefully at our spiritual walk is considered wise. That's why in this verse, it says, we have to live our life carefully, not as unwise people, but as wise. And how do we become wise? You ask God for his wisdom, right? You ask God for his wisdom so that he will enlighten you on how you should live your life. Amen? I like this quote from Godly Wisdom. It reads, "The Christian life is not that of a carefree, freewheeling attitude, but one that demonstrates clear thinking and careful and conscious effort." Isn't that what life should be for you and I as Christians? Excuse me. All right. Are you still with me? All right, cool. All right, next, until the next point. As we examine our life, the next thing we need to do is to redeem. Oh, there you go. Redeem your time. That's in verse 16. It reads, "Making the most of your time because the days are evil." I've been into Greek recently when I was preparing for this. In Greek, time can either be chronos, where we get chronology, the passing of time, or kairos is the opportune time, translated as making the most of every opportunity. That's what it means in Greek. Chronos and kairos, right? To make the most of every opportunity means to make a wise use of time so that the things we are doing are productive and helpful, not destructive and not wasteful. So I want you to reflect, what are the things that I've been doing that is productive, and what are the things that I've been doing that are pretty much just a waste, right? Because every day we get 24 hours. No one's rich. No one is poor. That's a song from Chris Rice, right? We get 24 hours each day. No one is rich, no one is poor. But it's up to you how you're going to spend that 24 hours, right? So to make the most of every opportunity, we have to make a wise use of time. So how are you using your time? That's a question for you. How are you using your time? Right? Are you using your time to grow in the knowledge of God, to serve Him, to please Him? Or are you just wasting it around? You know, as much as I'm telling you these guys, I'm also guilty of this, right? A lot of us, especially in today's society, there are so much time wasted because we just, you know, lounge around, wasting our time, the comfort of our couch and our home, in front of a big, high-definition 4K TV, right? We just waste around, lounge it. K-drama our life away. I don't know if you got that, but K-drama your life away means you're just binging on Korean drama, right? So, and to be honest with you, me and my wife has been into K-drama recently, and preparing for this message made me really feel so bad. and I was realizing how much time we've been wasting. This K-drama away, the life, right? So, question is, are you using your time to grow in the knowledge of God, right? Because here, the idea of redeeming the time has not so much to do with the accurate measurement of seconds, hours, and days. It has more to do with a unique opportunity that God has set up every day for you to live. That you would cherish that opportunity and make the most out of it. Right? In Ephesians 2:10, it reads, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance, that we should walk in them." You know, the verse before this, if you're familiar, what is it? "For by grace you have been saved through faith," right? It is the gospel. And then at the following verse, it tells us, "We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works." That means you were saved, to do good works. It's not like to do good works to be saved. It's the other way around. You are saved to do good works. The good works is the byproduct of your salvation in Christ. Is that clear? Amen? Right? So this is what Jesus wants us to do, day in and day out. This is how he wants us to use of our time, is to do his will, to do good works for him. So what we must do, we have to be sensitive to the opportunities that God gives us, right? Opportunities to do his will, to do good works for his glory, right? Not yours, but his. Make the most of these opportunities because they can be lost in the days of, because the days is evil, right? So how many times have you had the opportunity to tell a person about Jesus, but you have just walked away? Or how many times that you have the opportunity to just spend your time with your family, right? To be here in church, but instead you decided to just stay at home because you want to watch football, basketball, right? So those opportunities, we have to stop wasting, but we have to seize those opportunities to glorify God. Amen? We have to. Because by the wisdom of God, we can capture those opportunities in how we use our time in every season. You know, in life, there are three seasons. They said, this is based on a study, and it's the first one is discovery years. So we saw down that jelly bean, right? There's an ample of time we spend childhood, and then we reach into discovery years. This is the years from childhood to youth, to young adult. So this is basically from birth to 30 years old. I'm past it, unfortunately. Right? So in this time, if you are under 30, right, if you're a young man or a woman, not in between, okay, learn as much as you can because it will help you for the rest of your life. Read, grow, have a deep conversation with God, with friends, with family. If I could turn back time, I would play guitar, I would play the piano, I would learn earlier about Jesus instead of just playing basketball all day long growing up. Look at me, where am I now? Still playing basketball, but it's not getting paid. I should have spent it somewhere else. I should have developed hobbies or skills that could have really helped me as a Christian, as a dad, as a husband, right? So those are discovery years. Don't waste it. But if you're past 30, it's not too late. You got the defining years. This is from 30 years old to 60 years old, right? From adulthood to middle age. These are vital contribution years, right? This is where you pay taxes, pretty much. This is where you are able to take your learning and grow with experience. Most leaders in our world today are in this season, right? Young enough to have the energy, old enough to have the experience. Pray for vital contributions and the stewardship of your gift. So if you're in this age, you've already learned that life is not that easy as what someone told you, right? So learn from your experience and make a vital contribution to your first and foremost, and most importantly, is towards your relationship with God, towards the business of God, right? And then if you're over 60, anybody here over 60, raise your hand. There you go. You know, the study shows that actually the most productive years, of a person is when you are over 60. Amen. So don't get discouraged. Be excited, right? It is called the deepening years. 60 years old and above, your life has been deepened by God, right? You have a lot to contribute. Pray for a worthwhile life legacy. That's the goal, right? So that now that you have gathered all the experience, you have the wisdom, you have gray hair, and they represent wisdom, right? So contribute to the younger ones, right? Disciple people, right? And most importantly, knowing that you are towards the exit, right? Live a legacy that is eternal, right? Pray for it, that you will live a legacy that will count forever. Because life on earth is short, so make the most out of it. Make sure that what you do and how you spend your time counts for eternity. And we should all learn it, right? We should all learn it, right? So if you're a dad, if you're a mom, right, make sure that your children really know who Jesus is, right? Because that's the most important thing in this life, to have a right relationship with God, right? To be justified with Jesus, by Jesus, right? So that's the goal, right? So to do so, we must not take our time for granted. You will never be able to save time. The only thing you can do with it is what? Spend it. So you either waste it or you spend it wisely. Choice is yours. And to point three. It should be point three. Determine your purpose. Determine your purpose. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:17, it reads, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Here, the Greek word for understand is sonieme, or sonieme. It means to put together, right? To comprehend by implication and to consider, to understand and be wise. It means to see the big picture and put the pieces together, okay? So if we are wise, if you are wise, know that you should lean on God. You should lean into God's will for our lives. He is the only one who knows and holds the future and commands our destiny. Do you agree? Right? He is the only one that holds the future and commands our destiny. Right? So understand what the will of the Lord is. What is God's will for you? Right? You know, here's what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 to 14. "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden things, whether it is good or evil." So at the end of the day, God will keep tabs and keep account with you. But what is our duty? What is our purpose? To fear God and keep his commandments. This is the duty of all mankind. In other words, your primary purpose that you were created, that you were born, is to what? Please God. Please God. That is to please God. So, because, again, in this verse 2, it says, fear God and keep his commandments. Where do we find the commandments? In his word. Amen? Pastor Joe talked about this last week, right? How important God's word is, right? So, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, and we had this last week, all scriptures is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what do you need to live a life that is intentional? The Word of God, right? That's your material. It is freely given to you. You have it. You have access to it. to seize it, use it, right? So, because the foundation of our faith should be the Word of God, right? You know, the truth is, the Lord's will is totally sovereign, gloriously redemptive, sometimes puzzling, but always perfect, right? Sometimes life is puzzling, but know that God's will is sovereign, right? And is perfect. So many Christians want to know God's will, right? But very few to do the will of God. The purpose of our lives is to do the will of the Father, to do the will of God. So fear Him, keep His commandments, please God. That's your main purpose. That's the overarching goal of life. And we have to realize that, right? That's the overarching goal of life, is to please Him. So if you're still searching what your purpose in life is, go back. Go back to the Word of God, right? Because you're not going to find it on Instagram or TikTok. You're not going to find it from some, you know, invest this and that, and some, you know, you only live once, so live your life, go travel, and etc., right? You will find it in the Holy Bible, right? Whether it's an actual book or you have the app, it's up to you, right? Not in TikTok, nor in Instagram. So here's what we need to do, all of us. Because there's two things, you know, human soul has to choose, right? We can't operate two systems at once. So we either throw out the Word of God or we repent from our worldly attitude and re-engage in the biblical worldview. So, but the truth is, many of the Christians who operate on two belief systems, who are governed by their own operating system while giving lip service to the Word of God, we put on a mask and live a compromised life and don't understand the will of God. We no longer live an intentional life, but a derailed and distracted life. And the Apostle Paul tells us on how we can avoid getting derailed and continue to live an intentional life, right? So don't be double-minded, right? Make a choice. Either serve God or abandon Him, right? God will not force you to serve Him. You're free to do what you want, right? God will not force you. But if you choose to serve Him, you will be able to live a life that matters and a life that is intentional. But despite that, I know life is not that easy. There are things that will pull you away, but there is also a solution that the Bible tells us and how we can avoid getting derailed and how we can continue to live an intentional life. And that is to embrace your priority. It means that you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk with wine in which there is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So what's the solution to getting pulled away from the right direction? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Tell your neighbor, be filled with the Holy Spirit. All right. You know, I don't want you to fall asleep. We're almost done here. Okay? The answer on how to live a life that is centered on God and doing His will is to be filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God. However, there's a warning here. There's a warning. If you pay attention to this verse, it says, do not get drunk with wine in which there is debauchery. Right? So what does that mean? Debauchery doesn't merely refer to alcoholism, as some might think. Rather, it is a broad term associated with wasted, unproductive life. Here, Paul's concern was that those who get drunk are not making the most of every opportunity and are making unwise decisions, right? Worse, drunkenness makes one's decision-making that is much poorer, right? And self-aggravating condition. Remember, have you been drunk before? If you have, raise your hand. Come on, don't be shy. Well, I know you have. I have. You know, back in my teenage years and early college days before I met my lovely wife, I was drinking. And because, not because I love alcohol, it's mainly because I want to please my friends. It's called peer pressure. I hated it. It's just that it's something that you do, right? It's cool. That's what I thought. But looking back now, oh, never doing that again, right? So drunkenness, alcohol makes you weak, makes your thinking unclear, right? You know what's the world's strongest depressant? Alcohol. I work as a psych nurse, and most of our patients that has depression also drinks. So you already have a depression, and you're drinking alcohol, you're making it worse, right? Because it's the strongest depressant is alcohol. So likewise, in our life, you know, it's not technically, like, you know, it's not literally just alcohol, but there are things in this world that really make us drunk, right? Right? What the world offers makes you as well, makes you drunk. That's why we must be very careful not to immerse ourselves with the world, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? So that don't get drunk with what the world can offer you. And sometimes they're very attractive, right? Just like in your early days when you were drinking with friends, you know. It's not because you love the alcohol, but you the taste of it, but it's because peer pressure, or it's because you just want to please somebody. You think it's the norm, stuff like that. So here, we have to be very careful. And we can only avoid getting caught into the lies of the enemy and the world is if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? So be filled with the Spirit. Here in this verse, be filled with the Spirit, it is a command, right? It is a command in the present imperative. So it means that you must keep on being filled by the Holy Spirit. You must be always be filled by the Holy Spirit. Because spiritual warfare, problems in life, and etc., they are daily, right? They don't give you a warning like, hey, yo, I'll give you a marital problem later on today, okay? Or like, hey, you're getting fired at work today. Or you'll not be able to pay your mortgage or bills today. The world will not give you warning. The enemy will not give you warning, right? Our world, this life is full with spiritual warfare, and it is daily. So the filling of the Holy Spirit and the blessing of God can be daily things as well. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit daily so we can counter whatever the world throws at us, right? So we have to submit to Him. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit daily, every moment. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This does not mean that I have more of the Spirit or that I'm empty or I'm half filled by the Spirit. It's not about how much I have of the Holy Spirit, but how much the Holy Spirit has of you, right? How much of the Holy Spirit have of you? The key to the empowered Christian life, to be successful as a Christian, is to be filled by the Holy Spirit. We cannot live the intentional life without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit that you will be able to live an intentional life. Only through the power of God and through the Holy Spirit that you can make this life count, right? Only through, first and foremost, through the saving grace of Jesus. That's where it starts. All right, you still with me? Let's close this. In conclusion, to conclude, if I could speak quite bluntly, if I could be honest, right? I want to be really blunt. You and I have to stop wasting our time and wasting our life. Because a lot of Christians, a lot of Christians are just wasting their life, right? We have to fulfill what God's will is for our lives. Again, Ephesians 8, 9, and 10, you were saved to do the work of God. Amen? Right? You are saved to do His will. It was prepared beforehand for you. Right? So, stop wasting your life. Stop wasting your time. And I'm not just speaking to you guys, but to me as well, to all of us, that we will not waste our lives. Because there's going to be a day, and it's coming, in which each of us, okay, not you and your husband or you and your wife, each one of us, we will give an account with God, right? God will settle accounts with you for everything in our lives. And this applies to the Christian, right? If you're a Christian, God will settle an account with you. If you're not a Christian, you have one destination to go to, right? And that's the other way around. If you're a Christian, yes, you are saved by His grace. But on top of that, He will settle an account of you, right? Everything that we've ever said or done, everything that we didn't say and didn't do, everything we're going to give, in everything we're going to give God an account. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, it reads, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done in the body. That means the things that you have done in this life here on earth, right? Whether good or bad, right? You will settle an account with him. The only things that will last, that will matter, is the things you have done for God. Everything else that you've done for yourself or you think that you've done for God, but it didn't, it will burn, right? It will burn. And the only thing will last is the things that you have done in this body that is for Him. Living intentionally is living according to His will. According to His will, and asking Him that let His will be done through you. At the end of the day, when everything's said and done, and I've said it earlier, right, you're all gonna die. That's facts. It's unavoidable. Sorry. I told you, I'll be honest. It could be tomorrow, could be a month from now, or you could live to your hundreds. Regardless of, you're gonna die, right? And at the end of the day, you will settle an account with Him, right? And what do you want when that day comes, right, that you will settle an account with God? What do you want Him to hear? What do you want Him to tell you, to hear from Him? Will He say you're a worthless servant? Remember the parables of the talent, right? This is what you want Him to tell you. In Matthew 25:23, it reads, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into your master's joy. And that's what you want to hear from him. Well done, good and faithful Renee. Enter into your master's joy. Come over. Right? That's what you want to hear from him. And you can only accomplish that if you live according to God's will. Amen? So if you have not surrendered your life to Christ, right, you must make that decision right now. Right? Because tomorrow is never promised. Again, our life is numbered just like the jelly beans. You already spent a lot of it watching or doing whatever you've been doing, right? If you only have one jelly bean left, what will you do with it? What will you do with it? Will you make it count, or are you just going to continue watching K-dramas? It's up to you. If you've been a Christian for quite some time, right? And this is for all of us, most of us that has been a Christian. Let's live our life intentionally. Make our life count for God. Amen? Please him, right? Because that's our purpose. Amen? And that's our message. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, Jesus, we praise you. We thank you, for you are a faithful God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done on that cross. That you have died for our sake. That you rose again, that we may have eternal life with you. Lord Jesus, we ask you that, Lord, empower us through the Holy Spirit, that we will live our life intentionally, that we will make this life count, that we will be able to please you and glorify you, Lord God, through our lives. Help us to obey your will. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be pleased, to be a pleasing aroma unto you. It's the least, the very least we can do for you, Lord God, after all the things that you have done for us, is to really please you, to love you as you have loved us. Lord Jesus, help us to live a life that will matter. From this day forward, Lord God, help us to realize that our life here and this life here on earth is limited and is numbered. And you only knows, Lord God, when you will call us home. Lord, help us not to take things for granted, but to live a life that is pleasing unto you, to live a life that is intentional, that will count towards eternity. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that you have done. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for our life. We love you. And the people says, amen.